Okay, and we do have Dr. George on the line, and I believe now she can hear me. I can hear her, and
yep.
It's time for Medicine on Call, and I love your subject today, but I am going to take a fifth. I just not going to tell you what kind of fifth I'm taking, but it comes in a jug.
Isn't it sad?
This is, you know, I don't know. You gotta send me something for my blood pressure or my attitude or something. But I got on Facebook today, and this is after getting up extremely early and watching some of the news and stuff. You know, I totally love our Constitution, and I believe in the amendments. But when you're working for me and you've done me wrong, I don't believe taking the Fifth Amendment is an option in that regard. And I hope people realize that if someone takes the Fifth Amendment when they're under oath, in my opinion, that's an admission of guilt. And that's the only way you can look at it. So
I don't even understand why. The IRS chief or whatever you want to call her would be taking the Fifth, unless they've already admitted they've gone after people based on political beliefs. That's already been admitted. What's the point of taking the Fifth? I'm just curious. Is it because they're going to ask her who she got her marching orders from? That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I think it all falls under the same thing that we're looking at in so many cases now: cover up. And you know, I think to walk into D.C., you have to take CYA 101. And, you know, they're covering for themselves, and they're covering for, like you said, the superior that gave them the order. And it's sort of like the Benghazi thing. There's only, and I'm not a whatever military expert, but I know for a fact there's only one person in that situation that can give the stand-down order. End of story. And I don't know why everybody else isn't on that like flies on honey.
But I think they are beginning to be. I mean, it's been topic number one, which I'm actually surprised about, because over the summer, before the election, when it really was hot, it just disappeared like it never happened. Did you notice that right before the election?
Oh, yeah.
Went off the front page.
Except for one little bitty radio station in Sandy Springs, Georgia, that on their Facebook page kept saying, "Remember Benghazi." And that's basically all I'd put. And would get a lot of comments. Unfortunately, they were from the choir.
I don't know what to say exactly about the situation overall, because it's so obvious that it's a complete scam. I mean, did you see that? I don't know if you read the article that the liberal media was called into the White House a couple of days ago, you know, en masse. I guess it's for talking points, you know, for shoring up the talking points. There is no argument that anybody can make that it's okay that people died because of the situation. It's not like Watergate, in my opinion. It's worse than that. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger because whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork. And you can't deny what these guys are saying. They were there. They weren't in D.C. They were there. And they're telling the truth. And they can't be impeached. You know, the testimony can't be. No matter how much they try to say it happened a long time ago, it doesn't matter. I've heard people on the radio, people who called in, who are trying to make excuses for the fact that, you know, we already know what the truth is. We already got to the bottom of it, but we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. And the more you peel this onion, the stinkier and the more unappetizing, and the more you want to cry when you actually start to think about the ramifications of if these people get away with this. In Congress, whoever was involved with this, it will only continue. And this IRS acknowledgement that went after people not only politically, but their health care information as well, is a huge deal. Nobody's talking about that, really.
You know, it's just, I did another Facebook thing of which straw is going to finally break the back of the 47% or 50% or whatever number it is that voted for Obama and still kneel towards him every morning. The IRS thing, and the fact that more and more folks are realizing that their information is being tapped into, their email is being tapped into. The fact of the matter is, Big Brother is here, and it's got to be stopped.
Did you see the 60 Minutes piece this week with Leslie Stahl, where she, I think it was FBI, actually admitted that they're building a database of American citizens based on information that's already out there. Things like LinkedIn, Facebook, any social media, if your information is on there, they're creating, literally admitting now, that they're creating a database of American citizens, which they'll be able to sift through. And there'll be keywords used. I mean, you can say innocent things in an email subject, and that will trigger an investigation of you. And it's really, you really are beginning to be guilty until you're proven innocent. And this is not about protecting us anymore, in my opinion. It's about controlling us. And people are getting picked up. An activist named Adam Kokesh who was picked up in D.C. at a rally. And, you know, trumped up charges. He hasn't really been able to talk to his lawyer, make a phone call. I mean, again, he was whisked away without due process. And for those on the liberal side who think it's okay for it to happen to, quote-unquote, the Republicans or the conservatives, you're next. I mean, it's not right, never is going to be right, to go after somebody based on what they think or what they say. Yeah. And just because you happen to be in power now doesn't mean it can't be used against you down the road, or even now, for that matter.
Does that sound like any foreign countries that we know just picked up without due cause?
A couple come to mind, yeah. It's like a template. They're using the same thing over and over again.
It's scary. Do you think with the IRS, and the IRS, the infamous IRS, supposedly to run Obama doesn't care, do you think that the information, my health information given to my doctor, whatever and whatever, would not only be used against me, but also be sent directly to the quote-unquote death panels that aren't really set up but are already in effect?
Well, we already know that that's how it's set up. That's one of the things that the Affordable Health Care Act, actually it came before that. It's called the HITECH, H-I-T-E-C-H. Act, and that was the Electronic Medical Records Act. That was passed before Obamacare came online. And part of that was standards, you know, compliance standards that was set by the government for every electronic medical record company. Our company, the one that my office uses, gave us, you know, ample warning that they were going to start changing how our data was sent, our charges, our coding, everything was sent in a different way to them. And before, you know, we had our information in our office, so it was a local thing. We had a computer with a hard drive based in our office. Well, that changed, and now it's on cloud that's being maintained by the electronic medical record company. And when it hits the cloud, people need to really consider what quote-unquote cloud means. It sounds great. But all that means, it's being held virtually in a server that can be accessed really by any hacker, and in this case, the government. Catherine Sebelius is, by mandate, gets to see any health information put into this database. We already know that the IRS is also going to be adding access to it. Now, we also know they can be used against us because they're going to start, if you run afoul of the IRS, they're going to use your health information and mine it. We know that, too. But what about Homeland Security? What about FBI? And I have to say, actually, I read an article recently that the FBI is responsible, it's in their purview to cover healthcare fraud. So if that's part of what they do, they have to, by definition, be able to see what doctors do, you know, what their charges are, what the health information is, to really figure out if you're, you know, coding incorrectly, if somehow you're upcoding, downcoding. They have to be in the loop as well. And finally, the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical industry, they're both in the loop, because when you send a prescription electronically, now, you know, doctors, some offices don't write prescriptions anymore. It goes electronically to the pharmacy. Again, whatever that information is, if it's an antidepressant to help you stop smoking, if you need an anti-anxiety medication because you're having a procedure done, that information is gone into this cloud. And there's no, it's just the information. It may not be all of the nuances of why you're on the medication. You see what I'm saying? So they're saying, there's a list of meds. If this patient is on these meds and they obviously have this disease, which may not be true, but it's going to work against you. And I can foresee how this gets used, things like buying guns you know, having guns already and having a carrying permit. If you've been diagnosed or you have an anti-anxiety medication or antidepressant medication, you're going to be, you know, pre-crime, you know, you'll be sifted through a system where you're going to be a danger even though you're not. I mean, this is just, it's a huge problem. And it's not people who are doctors doing this. It's bean counters. It's bureaucrats. It's political hacks. It's all sorts of people.
You know, and I guess it's something that worries me or stands out to me is this country was built and developed and based on caring about each other and taking care of each other. And we've seen this come out in tragedies like in Oklahoma and so forth. But these people that are appointed or these people that are on the death panel are in a situation you will because of this, and they decide, and like you said, they're not necessarily doctors, they're just, you know, following notes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How can they, I don't even see how they can be considered Americans. That's not the caring, giving, I'm concerned about you American that I grew up with. This is some robot that's getting paid by an eligible, illicit government, making decisions that they should have no right to make, in my opinion.
Well, it's, again, whoever holds the purse strings controls the actions. And as we see this IRS, I didn't even realize how many government employees are union members. I really never even gave it a thought until I read about how the IRS, the IRS union boss, I don't know if you read this article, went to the White House and met with the White House, with the president, actually, the day before this mandate came down. And
oh, yeah.
The union members all, you know, it was like an order given. The union members decided this is how we're going to implement it, and then it was done. And they gave tons of money, over $600,000, to anti-Tea Party groups as part of the union, you know, how they siphoned their money to various, you know, PACs and political organizations that they wanted, that they agreed with. I don't think anybody should have that kind of power and also be so much in your face that they want their agenda pushed, they're going to pay for it, and they're going to put a kibosh and hand, you know, kneecap anybody who's against them. It's not right.
On that, let's take our first break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Moms, dads, listen to my radio program, Homeschooling for Today, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll learn all about how to homeschool on America's Web Radio.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Dr. Elena George. And if you're in need of a good ENT, and even ENTs have allergies, I just found out. But I know a good place to go, Dr. George, if you need to. And I think that's called self-medication or something. Anyway, exactly. We are talking about the IRS, and I got a question for you, because it's your tax dollar that's paying for, and I think it's the 29th of this month. Poor Michelle and Hussein have not had enough fun lately, so they're throwing another big concert at the White House and bringing in all of their liberal entertainers to entertain them. And that's your during sequester, when we can't afford bullets for our military, we can afford to have a big party at the White House. Does the IRS audit this? I'd like to have this audited.
I doubt they're auditing anything. And as I said in our break, I think it's like a parallel universe. It's so blatant that, you know, do what we say, but we totally above the law, and it's not just the White House, it's Congress as well. You know, the congressman, again, trying to carve out a pass in Obamacare for their aides. I mean, they're already carved out, so it doesn't even apply to them, all this nonsense that they want to call health care. It doesn't apply to half the government. I mean, even the unions, some of the unions are starting to turn on this, because it's not what they thought they were going to get. But no, this is kind of par for the course, but how much are people expected to take? When this law, this supposed law kicks in, there's going to be so much money siphoned from the very people that especially the Democrats were harping on trying to help at the expense of the rich. It was all about the middle class. It was all about sticking it to the rich who somehow got their money by ill-gotten gains and didn't work for it. They didn't deserve it. The wealth needs to be spread around. I mean, all the rhetoric was just, just unseemly and completely untrue. And I learned last night that the small business, I'm talking the micro businesses, the mom and pops, the solo practitioners, the independent, non-corporate-driven entities that actually provide most of the jobs in this country, they are going to pay the highest taxes and fines under Obamacare. As the number of employees goes up, the amount of the fine that you'll have to pay if you don't cover your employees actually goes down. So it's another nail in the coffin of small business in this country. And it's going to hurt the very middle class that they purportedly wanted to help. So the only people who get a pass on this are the super wealthy, who can afford to buy their doctors if they want, and the people who are on public assistance of some sort, and those in the middle who are just eking by, just above the 133% of poverty, working two jobs, are going to get nailed. They're going to have to pay for both of these people, you know, taking advantage of the system. And I don't have an issue with people who are struggling. That's not my issue. My issue is the government literally making it so hard for somebody to try to work on their own, to be independent, that they have no choice. Either they're going to quit that second job, or they're going to literally not get any health care because they're not going to be able to afford it, and they're going to have to be fined. I mean, their tax return is a thing of the future. The past. I apologize. I don't foresee very many people actually getting tax returns anymore because of the way the bill is set up. They get to project what you're supposed to pay in. And then after you've paid it, the next year, they can go back and claw back money based on what you made. And, of course, the IRS will be linked in to your entire pay system, pay structure. So they'll know when you have another job. They'll know what your boss will have to literally give that information, whether they like it or not, to the IRS. So if you work a few extra hours, and you happen to be on the books in any kind of way, and of course, I mean, that really makes a lot of sense. You can't sell, you can't have an off the books way of making money. They're taking up people who want to, little kids with ice, you know, iced tea and lemonade stands. They're being put out the pasture. You can't actually do a backyard sale in some states. It's illegal. So again, another source of money. They're now talking about taxing the internet. So if you sell stuff on eBay as a little side venture, they're coming for you. No matter what avenue you decide you want to make money from, it's being captured. And so once they have you in this grid of they know whether you're buying and selling, what money you're making, they're gonna tax you accordingly, whether you like it or not.
Dr. George, let me ask you, and we sort of, I don't know, beat around the bush on occasions with this, but, you know, there are, and Obamacare is the perfect example of the subtleties of telling you to bend over and stabbing you in the back at the same time. But who, in your opinion, is sitting there figuring this damn stuff out? Like, a good example of it is, you know, I've worked my ass off since I was 14 or 12 years old, actually. I wasn't even a sacker at the grocery store. I was the one that went out in the sandstorms carrying the groceries for the little ladies. We used to carry them to the cars back in my day. But anyway, that doesn't happen anymore. But, you know, I started at 12 years old, and I've paid into a thing called Social Security. Mm-hmm. And at my age, I went on Social Security to get my money back. But it's no longer a Social Security check. It's a federal benefit check. Mm-hmm. Now, who in the hell in D.C. or wherever, and there's a reason for changing this, to call it federal benefit. You know, who's doing this? Where is this? Where are they coming up with these subtleties to change reality into total control and ownership of me? And that pisses me off, quite frankly.
You can thank your friendly Congress. I mean, but no, they're the ones where the laws originate from, and they've been completely hijacked by corporate interests in every aspect of our life. And regulations, I don't care what regulation you look at, if you look at them critically, they always benefit large corporate entities, always. And there's never a fair playing field. And it's always about making it impossible for there to be actual competition, always. And when that happens, the people who are least able to work the system and to afford it are the small businesses, the mom and pops. Now medicine is on the line, having the same thing happen to it as happened in other industries. And unfortunately, for those who keep saying that health care is a right, what they've done is actually take away your right to independent medical care, and your freedom of choice is now gone. And it's de facto right now, because most people can't afford health care. That's why it's being taken away from them. But down the road, when you start having these plans, this bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans come online with the mandates of what they cover, then it's going to be completely obvious that your health is not yours. Your health decisions will no longer be yours. You are now part of a cost control, cost-centered, cost-shifted healthcare system where you're going to pay more and get nothing. And it's exactly set up like Social Security. So you use Social Security at the beginning. You paid in since the time you could walk practically. And your money has been put in a supposed lockbox, but it's been raided over and over again, and IOUs have been stuffed into this box. Now they can't possibly honor all the IOUs that are in there. The same thing happens under Obamacare. Starting, I guess, this year, you're starting to pay taxes of various sorts into the healthcare system, the Obamacare system, but they're supposed to hold it for you so that when it implements fully in 2016, up to 2025, the money's already there. But they're already talking about they don't have enough money in the system to even cover what they said they're going to cover. So it's the same setup. You're going to be taxed. They're going to cry poor. They won't be able to cover catastrophic diseases because they're too expensive. They're going to have to ration it because not everybody can get covered. So you have to cover people who are more likely to survive, the younger, the people who are able-bodied working. They're going to get the majority of the health care dollars spent on them. This is reality, 101. I mean, there's no other way to think about it. Those of us who've lived our lives, paid into the system, and expected a return on their investment are not going to get it. It's been raided. It's being used for silly things like educating people about how to apply for Obamacare. Sibelius is asking for over $100 million to actually roll out the PR campaign to teach people how to apply for Obamacare. It's ridiculous. Really? That's healthcare dollars that could be used for actually taking care of patients. Again, being wasted. That's how the system works. Bloated. The cronies get the lion's share of the money. Now we're talking about, because they have no health exchanges really, that they're going to give this money to private health insurance companies so they can subsidize people getting health insurance. And they're estimating that it's going to go up over 400%. The cost of health care premiums will go up over 400% for families and private individuals. That's not cost saving. And that's coming from the government, for goodness sake. It's not me making these numbers up. So you can imagine it's probably going to be worse than that. This is just the beginning, Dave.
We're going to take our second break, and then when we come back, Dr. George, put your hand in your pocket and pull out $5. I got a bet for you. We'll be back on Medicine on Call right after this.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
Hi, I'm Paisley McDonald, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my show, At Home with Paisley, every week, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, for practical advice and stylish living for your home and office.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night, and a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Okay, before we left Medicine on Call, I told Dr. George to put her hand in her pocket and pull out a $5 bill because I've got a bet for her. And here is my bet. You were talking about your buddy up in Washington, Sebelius, that's going to come out with this PR campaign for Obamacare. And my wager is that whoever gets the contract to do the PR work, I bet, is a close friend, relative, or brother, sister, father, son, or husband, or wife of either a congressman, or best friends with Holder, or best friends with Michelle, or Mr. Hussein himself. Will you take that bet?
No, because I'm going to lose my money. please enlighten the listeners, because I almost fell out of my chair when you told me.
Oh, well, we discussed it the other day, and I wish I had the article in front of me. But because of this thing called sequester, which doesn't affect the White House but affects everything else, they're selling off 56 post office locations, buildings, and locations across the country. And they had to, oh, my goodness, they had to go and get a realtor that could handle all of the deals. So that realtor that has been appointed to handle the sale across the country of all of these locations is the husband of no less than the wonderful representative, or I think she's a senator, isn't she?
She's senator.
Dianne Feinstein. Like you said, you couldn't believe it? I couldn't believe
it. No.
And you can Google it, and I'm sure find the article that the same article that I read and received. It's a handful of people, and we're the 300 million pieces of putty that they're playing with in every shape, form, and fashion.
Oh, they don't even care. They're doing it with impunity. And, you know, people like Charlie Rangel, who is not paying taxes, living in two apartments in New York, now he's campaigning to have the judgment, the congressional sanction against him reversed, like it never happened.
Did you see? Did you see him in the hearings the other day?
when he was
going after Miller of the IRS, formerly of the IRS, like he was dressed in a white wedding gown, questioning Miller.
They have no shame. It's just come down to, really, it's like watching a horrible reality TV show. I mean, and then you've got Wiener running for mayor in New York.
Hi, guys. And he's putting his picture on the Internet, is that?
Oh, yeah, and he said there may be more pictures out there. He already said that. So he's gearing up for more drama that you're going to see. And then you have his wife, who actually is a consultant for those unknown, because she hasn't had to actually tell anybody who she's been working for while simultaneously being an aide for Secretary of State. What conflict of interest is that? How do you know she's not working for a foreign agent?
Oh, you realize she happens to be a Muslim.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, and it's also her parents and her, I believe it was brother, were big in the brotherhood.
Exactly. Mother and brother, big in the Muslim Brotherhood. So, I mean,
is there something wrong with that picture?
There's a lot wrong with that picture. And it's not about her being Muslim. It's about her not disclosing who she's working for, who she's getting money from. It's a conflict of interest. It's just amazing.
You know, I'm sorry, but I have to sort of take I have a real problem with moderate Muslims. I'm not sure if they're carrying the Quran and they're doing their thing three times or 20 times a day or whatever it is, and they're not standing up against terrorism, then I have a real problem with it. And I don't think that's racist. I don't think, and there are many, many proof, and there's a lot of proof and a lot of folks that are much more qualified than myself, that Islam is not a religion, it's a political agenda, and they want to kill us. And if they're card-carrying Quran readers, they want to kill us. And I'm not real happy to be politically correct with them. I don't care who it is. If somebody wants to kill me, I can't really bless them and tell them to come on.
I think that people need to stand up for the country. I mean, this is, no matter what your religion is, you're Americans first.
If they are.
You know? But God notwithstanding, God comes first in all things. But you have, you live in this country, even if you came over on your own volition, I think you should have an allegiance to it. And if you know there are people that want to destroy it, and, you know, I don't even think they're Muslims so much anymore. I think it's internal now. I don't believe the Congress is working in the interests of the United States. I don't believe that. I mean, they've just passed it through that, through the Senate. I don't know if it's the House or the Senate, but that committee just passed the immigration bill. It hasn't come to the floor for a full vote yet. But I understand that there's, in that bill, there's money that the illegal immigrants can access for social programs, you know, as if they're citizens. Free, it's always been free health care, free food stamps, free education. I mean, they're getting benefits without paying into the system, and the system's bankrupt. Now you're adding 30 million people under Obamacare, and these guys are going to access that as well. They're not going to pay taxes into the system. You are. So you're literally supporting and paying for people, a lot of people, who are going to get the actual health care, such that it is, and take it from you. And it's not right. And it's all about votes. It's all about aligning the country in such a way that down the road the Democrats feel they'll have a supermajority for the foreseeable future. It's all about them, and it's all politics, and it's not about the country. I don't have a problem people coming here. My dad was an immigrant, but do it legally. Follow the rules, follow the law, and get in line. That's my only thing. And if you commit a crime, you don't get rewarded for it. That's what they're doing.
Do I recall someone saying that before I sign a bill, it's going to be on C-SPAN or explained totally, and I can't remember one that has fallen under that qualification or that that judgment. And I think this is a huge, huge problem, be it immigration, be it Obamacare, anything else, that the American, there are so many tag-ons, add-ons, whatever you want to call them, to these bills, that we don't know. We don't know what, well, hell, like Pelosi said, let's pass it and we'll read it later. Well, you know, we don't know what we're getting, and if the American people did, maybe they would finally stand up. But I don't, you know, you get 40 different stories about one story from our mainstream media and every place else. Yeah, there's so much confusion. I don't know if anybody knows the truth.
Well, I think the truth is coming out. The bill. Just look at the nuts and bolts of this bill. It's a tax. It restricts health care. It strengthens the system that puts the hospitals and insurance companies in the driver's seat. And it takes away power from the patient and the doctor. That's all you really need to know about this bill. That's it in a nutshell. And they on this bill, I think I've mentioned it before, there's a lot of money set aside to train nurse practitioners, physician assistants, medical assistants. And I was on a conference call last night, and I think the person, the moderator, said the exact truth. They know that doctors are leaving in droves. They know they have to have someone or some entity to take the slack up, and they are creating an army of healthcare providers who are less trained, and by definition, it is what it is. 2 years does not equal 4 or 6 or 10. It never will. And so these people can train quickly and enter the system, be given power to write prescriptions and be the stand-in for the doctor. And patients really need to be aware that the quality of care is by definition going to suffer. There is no other way to put it. The only people they can't replace are surgeons. But they'll do us one better. They'll just deny our surgery. and that's what's going on. I can't tell you how many times for this year, since this year has started, I now have to get pre-certifications and surgeries that are standard surgeries have been denied. And I'm fighting on all fronts in order to be able to take care of my patients. And it's new. And I understand the insurance companies are now, they're doing their damnedest to deny care while they've ratcheted up the cost to the patient. So the writing's already on the wall. It's already started. It's only going to get worse. And patients don't even know what's coming. But they really need to wake up. And it's time that they say something. Because I think some of this can be reversed if people really start speaking up for themselves, taking responsibility for their own actions, and their own lifestyle choices, and put these Congress people on notice. You won't have a job if you continue this way. We're not listening to you anymore. You cannot continue to do what you want. And then, excuse me, 2 years or 4 years down the or 6 years down the road, come and tell us how wonderful you've worked for us and how wonderful it's going to be if you just vote for us again. Time to clean house. That's all I have to say.
Amen. And as we're cleaning house, what is it, go with the 28th Amendment or whatever is around that, that you make the law, you live under it, brother. Period.
Yeah. There's no reason for them to have a parallel universe. And remember that the bill that they signed that destroyed their Congress ability to insider trade?
Yeah.
Like they're not allowed to actually profit from insider knowledge? Some, I don't even know who it was, some moron inserted it back mm-hmm. into the bill. So it's now a law. They can still do it again with impunity. There can't be any reason why they're allowed to profit, like Feinstein's husband, from what the laws that they pass are. It doesn't even make sense.
It only
it
makes
seems
sense
very nasty.
Because we've got, I don't know what the 47%, 50%, 52% of the people are sitting here on their thumbs not giving a damn, and they better start giving a damn about it. And if they're too stupid to become informed, then they're too stupid to vote.
You know, I have to say, I to some degree, I understand where you're coming from. I understand that. But you have to understand that over the last, I don't even know, 20, 30 years, the education system has created a whole, you know, throng of people who don't know what they don't know.
They don't
know how the government works. They don't do civics.
And what was the first thing that was taken away? History. And
yeah.
They pull that out of the books, and you don't know what was in the past. I got one yesterday. I didn't realize that there had been a march on Washington in 1932 that they called out the army on it to put down this march on D.C. I never saw that in history, but they had pictures of it. Very, very interesting.
If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, I don't know who's writing these textbooks, but they've erased a lot of the history. And what's there, they've demonized. So the Founding Fathers are now universally bad people. To the people who are reading these books, they're racist. The country's horrible. Meanwhile, all the things that have happened in this country, you would never have a black president in, I can't name of any other, political power that would happen with. We did it. I mean, we have things where we're paying the price for it right now, but ultimately speaking, you can't use racism anymore when you elect a black president twice. Okay? Right. It just doesn't work that way. It wasn't the black people that did it. It was the white people. And you can't have it both ways. I mean, I'm listening to these speeches. Well, I didn't listen, but I read some of the transcripts of these speeches that were given at various graduations by the First Lady and by the president. And it's just trying to go back and, oh, we're back in Jim Crow and it's so horrible. How do you say things like that when you went to the top-notch schools in the whole country and you're sitting there as President of the United States and First Lady, for example, saying how horrible the country is when you benefited from it? Good luck being having this success in England or, gosh, Germany or any of these other countries. It never would happen.
No.
So I just think that we need to call people now on this nonsense. Stop being a passive victim. The bully word needs to go. The fairness word needs to go because they're being used in an opposite way. It's to shut you up. It's to demean you. It's to make you feel bad about being an individual. And if you once you realize, take your power back and realize you have a bunch of people, and I said this in my last show, who I don't believe can actually compete on a level playing field because they're less than. They need the power of the law on their side. They need to rig the game. They need to push their friends ahead because if it's given a playing field that was level, they would lose. I'm convinced of that. And those that play by the rules, that go get up and go to work every day, whether they're sick or well, take care of their kids, abide by the law, who are good guys who play the game properly, they have to somehow step on those folks because they're afraid of you. Take your power back. I don't care what level, what station you are in this country. It's time to take your power back, whether you're a student, a small business person, a mom, a grandparent. Stop listening to these people tell you how bad you are, how racist you are, how stupid you are, how you can't get ahead because you're black or there's some impediment. It's nonsense.
You know,
you're an individual. You're also an American. And your country, I don't care what color you are, it's like a rug being pulled out from under us. Once we take that fall, we're not going to be able to get back up so quickly. I'm not inclined to do that, and I know that you're not, and our listeners aren't. It's time to start talking to your friends, your family members, and stop hiding. You know, it's like hiding in the closet who you are at this point. Well, if you have an opinion, it's now time to start talking about it. And whoever tries to demonize you, give it right back to them.
Yeah. Dr. George, my best friend and I were talking, in fact, yesterday about this, and there was, and you and I have been together for, before he was elected, and there, I had a twinge, and you know I was anti-Obama from the get-go, but I had a twinge as he was elected with a big maybe and a question mark after it. My best friend and I were talking yesterday that what if Obama had taken the right route, think of what this guy could have done. The first black president could have united the United States like never before, could have worked with union, non-union, capitalized the United States and made us the most predominant country in the world. And the first thing he does is go out and apologizes for us being great. But if he had taken the other road, my God, what he would have gone down, if there is still history, as being, you know, the best of the best and the first black president, and, you know, on and on and on. And yet he took the wrong road, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I agree with exactly what you said, but I don't think that he's like Congress. Their allegiance is to the UN. And to globalism. And globalism, by definition, means that we have to, as a country, drop our standards on all fronts to the global community. We have to drop our standards to be part of the herd. And he and Congress are doing yeoman's work in dismantling the things that make the country great. You know, it was individualism. It was working hard. It was taking care of your neighbor. It was. I mean, granted, you know, our country's not perfect, but I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it was as bad as everybody says it is. It's not. That's not the case. And to totally negate all of the opportunities that this country gives you, whether you start off dirt poor, you have the opportunity to be, you know, the richest man in the world. You have that opportunity in this country if you work hard and you have ingenuity and you have creativity, which you're trying to sap on all fronts. But, you know, look at us versus China, for example. I'm not impressed with the Chinese at all. I don't feel that, again, that we really compete with them. What they do is steal technology, steal intellectual property, and then make a cheaper version of it. Like those fake cities that they have over there, it's incredible. They have whole cities, carbon copies of Paris, New York, empty, ghost towns. It's a fake. And it's all being driven to try to make us feel as if we're nothing, that, you know, we're no longer, we can't compete. We're just pulling up the rear. We should apologize for everything that we've ever done. What we've done is give more money to every country on this earth, you know, tenfold compared to the other developed countries. And we've gone out and helped people. Good luck getting that from Saudi Arabia or any of those other countries. They could care less. So I'm just tired of, I'm not going to play this game. And I think the best way to win this battle is not to play the game. That's just stop buying into it. Stop feeding the beast. Stop believing that you're nothing, that you have no power, that you just have to go along because it's expedient. I don't care what that is. Stop, you know, going to those scanners, to going to a doctor who could, or better yet, an extender who doesn't even know you, who's treating you, to paying into the system blindly. Question things. This woman should not be able to go up there and take the Fifth Amendment with impunity and not pay a price from it, from the American people. And the government should not be able to get away with it. Feinstein's husband should not be able to profit with billions of dollars. That's, you know, by the time you get your money, you know, what is it, the fee, the broker fee for those post offices being sold? She's already, like, mega wealthy. Do they really need the extra money? You know, question these things. How come there was no, you know, some sort of lottery, at least, some sort of, some way to keep the price down, because we're actually going to pay for this, pay money from our pockets directly into his for the privilege of him selling our stuff. This is ridiculous.
And this is, you know, do you ever think about this? We know X amount. How much is Y that we have no clue about? I mean, it's sort of like Benghazi. If SOS and a few other organizations hadn't have stayed after Congress and after folks, and the AP scandal would have never happened if it had happened to, you know, they could come investigate me until hell freezes over and nobody would care. But once it hit AP, and then it hit Fox, then it hit CBS, then all of a sudden, you know, that's not right that they're checking on reporters. Duh.
No.
You know, until it affects them directly, nobody seems to care. And I cringe at the thought of the mothers that lost their sons, it was all men, in Benghazi. And nobody for 9 months gave a damn. But now, finally, hopefully, they are. And the rightful people that should be fried will be fried, I pray.
I from your lips to God's ears, I'm a little bit dubious still. I mean, you have a congressman saying during the hearing, oh, people die, that's life. You know, that was his attitude. These people were murdered. This is not natural causes here. And he tried to just downplay that. And you have Hillary Clinton saying, basically, get over it. It happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, nobody called her on that.
I think one is those were two Democrats that said those two things. Well, obviously,
yes.
Hillary.
Yeah.
The part of life, no, that's not part of life, and it should not be part of life in the United States. No matter who you are, if you're in trouble, the United States is there to help you and try to get you out of trouble.
And, you know, if you don't like it, for whatever reason, the country is such that you can speak up and speak your mind and meet up with like-minded people and try to change it. That's how the country's set up. It's not set up that if you don't like it, then you shut down the other opponent by embarrassing them, by coming after them in their taxes, by arresting them inappropriately. That's not how the country's set up. So again, you have a mentality that I can't play the game, I can't win the game, so I'm just going to change the rules. I'm going to make up my own rules. And the people who sit back and sanction this, either passively or like these Congress people did, just with impunity and just disrespect. No, if we don't speak up and say, the line is drawn, you've already crossed it, you need to go, they're just going to keep pushing the envelope.
And quite frankly, they have for years. I hope it all comes out with regard to the IRS. What this administration has done has been a multiple, but I know for a fact other administrations have used the IRS as their punishment tool. And this goes back as far as, I'm sure probably further than I can remember, but I know for facts, I know people that were involved with this, it goes back to the mid and late 60s. Lyndon Johnson used the IRS like it was his own bullwhip. So it's been done before, not to the extent that this administration's doing it. Lyndon used to take on people. This administration has stretched it to taking on organizations, which I find incredible. But with that being said, Dr. George, we're going to have to wrap it up for the day.
Well, it's always a pleasure speaking with you.
And with you. And I think that we are making a difference, and you certainly are making a difference. Thank you for all you're doing and just informing. And that's all we can do, I guess, at this point.
Well, I'm a big believer in knowledge is power. So go out there and take your power back, and that means you have to work for it. It's worth it, though, I can assure you.
Can you imagine the way you and I grew up, the times that you and I grew up in, taking that away from our kids and our grandkids? That's just deplorable to me.
I agree. But they only take what you give, right? So stop giving it away.
That's it. Thank you, Dr. George. We'll talk to you again next week on Medicine on Call here on America's Web Radio. Thank you, Dr.